So we were talking about during the high school year, you were self-support by helping the family. And did they give you any sort of money to spend?
I don't remember, maybe.
For example, you have to buy a book for.
Well, high schools supply books.
Oh.
See, free books and all the pencils. And I don't know where I got my spending money. In those days, there wasn't much required of a.
As long as you have free room and board,
Board.
that's the most important thing. So you went to Chapman College. Would you like to talk about college life?
Well, being a small college, church-related, there wasn't that much excitement or social life going on. So I just went to school and then I'd work after school hours, helping and UCLA instructor and see this right. UCLA was still in on North Vermont, and see if it's a few blocks from campus. So Chapman College was between LA Southern Branch and her home. So I just walk up to her house, do her housework for her.
Is it correct that the site of Los Angeles City College today used to be UCLA? Is that correct?
It was called University of California Southern Branch. Then when it moved out to Westwood, it's at UCLA.
So you, during the 4 years, you always work with this UCLA instructor?
Well, I think so. And she wanted to help Chinese students, you know, so she asked me. 50 cents an hour, that's good money.
Oh, what kind of work did you do
Oh,
for?
housework, just get her meals ready for her and clean her house, that type. What else was there?
So you have to go to her house every day?
No, not just several, maybe two or three times a week. Then in between times, I work on campus, working in the dining room.
That was how you made your way through college?
Yeah.
So, did you have any scholarship or fellowships through the college?
No, I don't think. Well, the fellowship, a scholarship would be through what do you call it,
work study. That's not a program called. You have to work
yeah,
to get money
for,
to pay for
yeah.
your. Were there Chinese students?
No. I was the only one living on campus, but in the 4 years, I think there were other two Chinese.
Were they from China?
No, they were native.
Did they major
I
in?
don't know what their major was, but they didn't stay very long.
Do you know why they didn't stay long?
No.
You did you associate with them?
Oh yes, I knew them.
Did you feel any difference between Chinese students and non-Chinese students? The differences, like
the Caucasians
Caucasians and the Chinese.
Well, I wouldn't have a blanket statement, but I think that these young people are very concerned people, and they went here for the purpose, I think, they studied it as they should, you know, because it's no radical group there. Everybody was there for the reasons.
So you didn't really feel closer to the Chinese student than to the Caucasian student?
No, because they were day students, see, and I have many friends on the campus, and I kept in touch with some college friends, went to my 50th,
remember that.
Yeah, anniversary. So, so that was a great scene. The people that some I had that since graduation thing.
Mm-hmm. So what subject did you like the best in school?
Well, the curriculum was very limited, you know, so I just took sociology, and then we had workshop periods. We went to the Old Nations Church on 6th and Gladys Street.
Oh.
Is it still there?
I think the building is still there.
Oh.
Oh, I'm going to take a picture of all those places.
I think the director at that time was Dr. Kippen, I think. But anyway,
So you were the almost the only Chinese, or very few Chinese on campus. Did the other students treat you differently, especially women?
No, but I'm just one of them.
Mm-hmm. Were there many women students? Women?
Well, it's equally divided. Maybe there were more women than men.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You mean on campus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you said that you plan to return to China.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you took sociology.
Uh-huh.
You want to do some social work?
Social service work.
And what happened after you graduate?
Oh, what happened? No work. Depression year, 1932.
Uh-huh.
That was the worst years.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Between, you know, in the 30s. And friends of mine contacted a home for Chinese girls, women, in San Francisco. So I moved north. I went to San Francisco. And for the summer, I went to Oakland.
What year was it when you moved to San Francisco?
1932. I went to Oakland first for the summer. There was a home there for the Chinese girls. It's called the Ming Gong Home for Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and worked. They wanted me to stay, continue for the year. But I had promised to go to San Francisco. So I left Mingong and went to San Francisco. Miss Cameron,
mm-hmm.
Donald Dina Cameron, she's known throughout Chinatown, you know, for decades. She's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And she organized or developed whatever place for little Chinese children who had only single parents or no parents.
But this is in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or orphans. And then she gathered them and put them in a home, which is not in San Francisco. She found a place first in the Menlo Park.
Mm-hmm.
They called it baby cottage.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not have just babies though. In fact, we didn't have any babies. We had some young children.
Now this school for half orphans and orphans were for girls?
Boys.
Girls?
Ming Gong is for girls only.
And that was in Oakland?
In Oakland.
And the one in Menlo Park?
Menlo Park is for boys and girls.
Okay. Hold your tape for a minute.
Fall, I went to Menlo Park. It's an old house. So I had some picture of them.
Oh.
If I can. But the place, the house was too small and too old, too dangerous for a house. So we moved out of that. Then we moved to a larger quarters. This is really a nice old home, large enough to accommodate all of us without crowding too much. So my responsibility was to take care of the school age, like kindergarten through 5, 6, 7, 8 year old. Did I have just the boys? I think I just have the boys. In fact, I had to sleep with them. See, we have one long bedroom. And there's a little alcove here, over there, that's why me. So it was a 24-hour duty, which is not so conducive to healthy living, you might say.
How old were you then?
That's right after I got through college, 32.
22.
27 years old.
You were 22 years old,
about that? No, I'm more than that. I was
26, born 1906.
Oh, okay.
Was that time, who was the director of the Babies College?
Well,
Do you know Dr. Betsy Jung?
Yes.
Was she there at the same time?
She was with me. We were working together. Where is she now? Do you know her?
She's in Piedmont, still in the North California.
Yes, she came from Philadelphia school, medical school for women. So she was pressed into her service too. And she was a protege of Donald D. Campbell of San Francisco. So.
How did you get this job? Through the friend's introduction?
Well, no. Friends of mine investigated about possibilities that I may, you know, be able to work. So I went up there and I just gave my service, so to speak. In those days, there were no paying jobs, so again, I say you were glad that you have a roof over your head, you know.
So you work for a room and board, that's about what building
model. Yeah, I think so. Maybe they did give us $10 each. There were 1, 2, 3. There's Dr. Bessie Jones, and there's an older woman. She took care of the babies, not infants, but smaller children. We had a cook, we had a housekeeper, I think it's a staff of 6 of us. Did we have a nurse? Maybe we have a nurse too, so it's a staff of 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
And we I stayed there only 1 year. And after I left, then I came back to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Why did you come back to Los Angeles? You found a job?
No, I didn't have any job. I just left because that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to tie myself down for too many years up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, maybe I may have a chance to find something to do down here. In those days, work was hard to find, especially you are non-citizen. See, I was not a citizen, hard to find any job except working in a restaurant, so that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't equipped to do that kind of work either, so I was, you might say, I floundered around until off for a couple of years doing this and that. So
in Baby's Cottage, how many children do you have to take care of?
My responsibility was about six or seven.
Uh-huh.
And of course I had to, I don't have to wash their clothes, I see that they are clean.
Mm-hmm.
And we have simple classes, you know, like kindergarten training type of thing. And then Sunday, I had more or less something like a Sunday school class for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, children, when they go out to play, you had to watch them oftentimes. Every day we would take walks around the neighborhood.
Was that bilingual?
Bilingual.
Your children speak Chinese, and you taught in Chinese as well as in English?
Oh, I don't remember. Both, I guess.
bilingual,
when it's necessary.
How big was the whole school? How many children? You took care of six, seven, the others?
Were they any older than my group? There was about six or seven smaller children.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember, the group is not too large.
Uh-huh. So did you have anything to do with Miss Cameron? Did you talk to her, discuss?
Oh, she came to visit and supervise things, and we had very little chance to leave the premise because we had no substitute. We had to be on duty constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess then maybe they did give us one day off
mm-hmm.
a week,
mm-hmm.
Every 2 weeks maybe. And I would go to San Francisco or to somewhere, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Been so long ago.
Yeah. So you came down to LA and you say you did a little bit
yeah.
this and that.
Mm-hmm.
What were those kind of jobs, and what were the jobs available for people like Chinese who did not have citizenship other than restaurant working? What type of work?
Oh, what type of work did I
uh-huh.
do? I was working in a gift shop
uh-huh.
for a short time. Then
American gift shop?
Yes. Then I was a part-time worker just a few hours a week at International Institute.
Oh,
oh, that's over in
Boyle Heights.
Boyle Heights.
Yeah, yeah. Where Emma Kwan was working.
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember Emma? Did you know Emma? Kwan Yingmo, daughter.
Oh, the older daughter.
No,
wow,
she's the middle one, I guess, Emma.
Yes, I remember Emma now, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What is this International Institute? Could you describe a little bit?
Well, primarily they are trying to help foreign-speaking people in this area, Southern California. They have programs, but no classes in those days. And they did lots of social welfare work. those who needed assistance, welfare, and they would help them, that type of thing.
Could I add something here?
Yeah.
Now, the international, it was called International Institute, is where when we were in high school back in the 40s, we used to hold our dances over there.
Is it that Dragon Hop?
Did the you record go hop. To no, the
Dragon
record,
Hop?
Well, we used to call it the Record Hops.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we used to have our dances there, and you go in for 25 cents or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at your time, who were the people going there besides Chinese?
The Chinese didn't go there.
Oh, Chinese didn't go there. Uh-huh. Who were the...
Because Chinese were not on welfare, even though they were poor, they were to starve. Or they didn't know about welfare programs. And most of them, they have a Japanese secretary,
mm-hmm.
a Russian,
mm-hmm.
or they're Mexican or not. And they were the people who were busy helping their people, but we had no program for the Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Were most people work there volunteer?
No, they were staff, paid workers.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, what did they have now? I was paid by the, not PWA, is it public workers?
WPA.
WPA. Did they fund that type of program, or they just do public highway work?
No, they did all kind of work.
Kind of
oh, then I was paid by the WPA.
Mm-hmm. WPA.
I worked a few hours a week. Now that reminds me, one day my director asked me, my supervisor, said there's a group of Japanese ladies who would like to know how to cook Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go? I said, well, I don't know how to cook Chinese food to show other people. And she said, well, you go anyway. And I had no transportation except to ride a streetcar, and I had to bring all the stuff with me. So I went to St. Peter Street Market to buy the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining that day, and I had to take 2-3 cars to get there. By the time I got there, it was so late that there's half of the women left.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, those who did stay, I demonstrated for them. I don't know what I cook, I can't remember. Just very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Chow. So in a way, they never asked me again. I don't know. I'm not surprised. But in a way, International Institute did send me out to several places to do case work that time. So.
Uh-huh. But never really Chinese family that asked for help.
There's one Chinese family I think I did help. There was a boy, well, this family was destitute. They lived in a bare house, nothing except one little table, couple of wooden rickety chairs. And this boy, little boy, he got hit on the eye. And he never got medical help, so the eye began to become infected, and he lost the sight of the eye. And I knew the eye was very bad, so I asked the mother if she would like to have the boy have his eyes checked. So I think I took him to the children's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In Hollywood somewhere. And to this day, I still hear from him. Well, they were intermediate years.
Mm-hmm.
We lost contact because he moved away.
Mm-hmm.
But since we had reestablished our contact, he's been writing me every Christmas. and he has a son who is a mathematical genius, you might say, and he was in high school. He took this test for the university entrance, and he ranked among the highest. So it just thrilled me to death to know that this boy has a boy who is doing so well. So the last time he wrote it to the boys enrolling in the Arizona State University, University of Arizona. And I say it must be 5 years ago, I was with a group, family group, at the Grandview restaurant for Sunday brunch.
That's nice.
And here walk in this boy, James Wong. And honestly, it was such a happy reunion. I just never expected to see him again. So I found out where he lives. He lives in Arizona. And then he went into the market business. It's doing so well. So it's terrific to know that people, regardless of our economic status and condition, if we have the will and have the capacity to do better, they can.
So besides the Chinese family, you were sent to like other non-Chinese family for case? No,
I didn't have any contact with the non-Chinese.
Mm-hmm. But when you work in the International Institute, did you go visit the other families?
No, only Chinese.
Okay. So how many years did you work for the International Institute?
I don't know. I think I was there for a very short time.
Uh-huh.
Transit type of a work.
Uh-huh. After that, did you find another job before you leave there?
Well, I went to the gift shop. I worked there for maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got married.
Uh-huh. The gift shop was in downtown area?
No, it's at 6th in Vermont.
Uh-huh. It's American owned?
Yeah.
What type of
Just knick-knack gift shops, you know.
What did you do?
Oh, I took care of the store and that type of things. Got married.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Howard many years before at the Chinese church. That's where we met. And of course, I have no thought of getting married, you know, because in China, it best to have a single life than a married life. So I just went along to do what I could. Oh, finally we decided maybe.
So what year was that when you got married?
1935.
1935. So did you just stay home as wife?
Yeah.
Did you have any special feeling about being stay home and not going out and work? Or housework
I, in those days, don't know, just before any women liberation, when you get married, why you stay put.
But you have such a good education background, college graduate. Do you ever think that you will go back to work?
Well, there wasn't the kind of work available to me, like social service work, you know, and even anything, you know. It's a menial job. I didn't have the skill to do office work.
Could you talk about, can you tell us about your husband's family?
I don't know the background of his family, because his father came in the late 1890s. And I think he came over to work on the railroad. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So after the railroad was completed, he settled in Bakersfield. Whether he was a farmer, a peddler, I'm not sure. It's too bad I didn't get any information before, the house and his brothers are all gone. So. No information. So anyway,